bobby pins, extensions, and hairspray. Oh my.
The hairstylist that you select for your bridal party is one of your most important hires.
There is so much to understand and so many different things to consider when planning your wedding hair looks. We're learning all the things today with Stacy Hutchinson on this episode.
You're listening to The Ring, The Bling, and All the Things podcast. I'm Christina Stubblefield, one of your hosts, along with my two good friends, Michael Gaddy and Sharon Rumsey. We are here to get you from down on one knee, down the aisle, and into happily ever after. Our informative episodes deliver valuable tips, trends, ideas, and advice covering everything from you saying yes to the I do's and all that happens in between and after. Now, let's get started with this episode.
Mike and Christina, I am really excited today because one of the first vendors that I like to book when I book a wedding is my hair stylist and my makeup artist. Nobody thinks about doing those things first, but it's crazy important because these ladies book up fast. We have my absolute favorite with us today. Stacy Hutchinson is my go-to hairstylist for all of my weddings. I absolutely love working with her. We are going to get the details on wedding hair today. Brides always have questions. I never know the answers. I always send them to Stacy. So we just brought her here with us to give us all the scoop.
Stacy, I don't know about Sharon's intro there because she has really set the bar high that you're going to give us all the information.
All of it. Yeah.
Thanks for coming in and being with us today.
No, thanks for having me.
Sharon, you have talked about this and talked about this because one of the things I hear you say is people don't realize how much it takes. And before we get ahead of ourselves, do you want Stacy to tell us a little bit about herself and share with our audience?
Okay. My name is Stacy Hutchinson. I am a hairdresser at Roots Salon in Jeffersonville, Indiana. I've been in the industry since I was 18 and I'm going on 35. I have a 2-year-old little girl and her name's Violet. And when I'm not with her, then I'm usually hiking or fishing.
I love it that you fish. Fun. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I love it.
I didn't know that. So
now here comes the plethora of questions from this.
Yes.
Well, one of the first things I want to point out is don't assume that the person who does your hair normally, regularly, wants to do your wedding hair.
Correct.
Because I honestly go to a stylist that is the co-owner of Stacy's salon. She won't do wedding hair. It makes her nervous. She doesn't like it. And when I first started planning weddings and asked her about it, she said, absolutely not. Not doing it. Not interested. It is a little bit nerve-wracking. You're working on a timeline. Mm-hmm. You're expected to produce perfection every time. Tell us a little bit about things a bride should consider when she's looking for a hairstylist.
I think the top thing to consider is the style of your stylist. Not every stylist has the same style. Some of them are better at boho. Some of them are better at sleek looks. And some just aren't versed in using additives to the hair, like extensions or buns that make you look like you have more hair than what you have. So you just want to make sure that the stylist that you do end up choosing it's going to fit your day. It's going to fit your needs, your wants, and whatever your expectations are of your look. You know, if that stylist isn't for you, if you have a trial with one stylist, no big deal. Move on to the next one. And, you know, because it's your big day, you want to look perfect.
Absolutely. Do you prefer that you go to the brides on wedding day? I know as a planner, I absolutely do not like my bridal party to have to like tromp all over the city going to different places. So right. Is that something we should think about? Is that stylist willing to come to you?
Yes. It is. It seems to be easier. It's easier on the brides. It's easier on everyone in the wedding party because they're going to one location. They can relax for the morning. They can have their mimosas, their coffee, chill out, and just get prepared for the day. So you're not trying to get 8, 10, 12 people to the hair and then so-and-so's got to run and do that.
And it's much easier on their wedding planner because I'm not herding cats.
It is much easier on the wedding planner. Yes.
Okay. Well, you made me think of something. Do you recommend that everyone does a trial?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. I know some people do that and use it for like engagement pictures or some other kind of purpose when they're working on that. So you do recommend that everybody does a trial?
I do recommend that everyone does a trial, but not necessarily on the day of their engagement pictures unless they want that specific style. Some styles are too formal for engagement pictures.
Very good point.
That is a
I'm
good
so
point.
Glad that you talked about it. I do hear a lot of people doing that. And that makes me think, well, why would you want to have the same hairstyle in that, that you may be doing something like that for your wedding?
Well, day. I also know, too, the makeup artist that Stacy and I work the most often with, she does not, if you come to her to get your trial on engagement picture day, she will tell you that she's not going to do the shimmer on the eye and all the special things that make wedding day makeup, because she wants to save that for your bridal look. Mm-hmm. And I think that's exactly what I hear you saying, is you want to save that super formal. I know a lot of girls do updos, that kind of, you want to save that for.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this, Stacy, when it comes to trial day, and you mentioned this a little bit ago, they come to you and say they don't like it. Are you the people come to me and they interview me and they interview about four or five more of the florists before they decide on me.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the same way with doing hair? Do they have that flexibility, or you are the person they hire?
Well, typically on the day of their trial, because I send them a contract beforehand just to look over. Mm-hmm. If they want to sign it at the end of their trial, great. If they want to think about it, great. But typically in a trial setting, I book out an hour to an hour and a half to work with them. So in that time, depending on the amount of hair that they have, sometimes we can try a couple of different looks. But I try to make sure that the looks that they want are cohesive. So if they want a sleek style and a boho style to try to choose from, those are two different textures of hair. So it's kind of, we got to pick and choose which one we want to go with, because if I've curled their hair and done a braid and done a twist for a boho style, they're not going to get that sleek style look that they're wanting to go for in the same day. So at the end of their trial, I just let them know, you know, if I'm not the stylist for them, someone else is. Someone else can get them to where they want to be that day.
Well, I know I've had some clients that come, they'll do two or three trials with you on different days.
Mm-hmm.
Because they want to try the different looks. And like she was just saying, you can't always, you know, once a hair's been braided, it's got the bend to it. And you can't do that sleek style. Trials do cost money. And I always tell brides that's part of something that's something we should plan on, because you are taking up that hairstylist or makeup artist's time. But it is so, so worth it, because you do not want surprises on wedding day. You want to know exactly how you're going to look. And I'm sure from Stacy's standpoint, you don't want surprises on wedding day. You don't want to do a bride you haven't ever met until her wedding day.
So do you have most of your brides bring you a picture and say, this is what I want to look like that day?
Inspo pictures are always welcome, because it gives me an eye to see, okay. And I try to pick it apart. What do you like about this style? Because there may be a giant braid or a twist on the side, and they're not even paying attention to the messy bun in the back. So I say, what do you like about this? Do you have other pictures? And try to put those together to get the style that they're going for.
I've noticed in just over the few past weeks, actually, the girls that come into the shop, I mean, they have short hair, but then when I get to the wedding and they're all glammed up and they've got long hair. So extensions, I mean, is that something real that you're seeing a lot of right now?
Absolutely. 9 times out of 10, when a bride brings me a photo of wedding hair, especially if it's hair that's half up, half down, or all down, there are some sort of extensions in the hair. Because a lot of those photos, if it's not done by a stylist that has put that picture on Instagram or Pinterest, they're editorial photos. So that's a whole different ballgame, because that's ours to do. You know,
That's an excellent point, what you just said there. If you're taking at face value the photo that you're seeing out there on some kind of social media platform, especially by the photographer,
they could have done editing in. That's not a real life photo.
Exactly. Yes.
I think one of the things we talk about here all the time holds true. Sometimes we don't know what we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think brides just assume they can go in and they can show that picture and boom, we can recreate that hairstyle. But, you know, I have hair that's above my shoulders. So if I want some big fancy updo, I don't have the hair for that. You know, I would have to get extensions or something. And I'm actually still learning as I go. Stacy did extensions on one of my brides a few months ago, and she had them hanging up when I walked in the in the bridal suite. And I was like, oh, my, what are we doing? What is that? Because there was just all this hair hanging, getting ready to be put in. So it's really kind of fun to watch. I love the getting ready part of wedding day because it's just super fun to watch all the girls come in and get glammed up. And they always have such a good time.
But one of the things that really blows my mind, with, especially with working with Sharon, because usually she has her hair team come in, her makeup team.
I got
come
my
in
people. I
early,
love my people.
Early peoples in the morning.
Yes, uh-huh. Yes.
And you know, you're all there early in the morning, and then the wedding's at 4 or 5 o'clock. That just surprises me. And I mean, I know that's your profession, but it surprises me how they still look good when they walk down the aisle doing something that far in advance. Which mm-hmm. I get it because you may have 10 girls to do plus a bride.
Yes,
I get asked a lot by brides, "Is my hair still going to look good? Come, you know, if we start this early." First of all, we have to start that early. And secondly, it's always yes. If you get professional people that are used to, once again, it goes back to hiring those professional vendors, people that are used to doing wedding hair, it will hold up.
Well, and I have the same question. You know, they'll say, okay, we're delivering the flowers at 10 o'clock in the morning. Well, they're going to still look good at 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So I get that question. You know, I understand how they would think that the normal, you know, ordinary people.
And that kind of opens up the door to talk about timeline. Because mm-hmm. I know I always reach out to Stacy before a wedding. And I pretty much have it down pat now that she wants an hour for the bride and 45 minutes for each other lady. And that's worked really good for us. What is your cutoff for how many you will do in a row? When do you want to bring in that second? When do you say, Sharon, I need that second stylist?
Usually when I get to 6.
Okay.
Because anything past that, it's hard to keep the momentum going and it's hard to guarantee because you may have 6 bridesmaids that all want their hair half up, half down and curled. And that takes more time than updos typically, just because some of the bridesmaids have tons of hair.
Right.
And you have to make sure that that hairstyle is going to stay up and that you may have to recurl a bridesmaid. Mm-hmm. A couple of pieces at the end before you're finished up getting ready to leave.
Yeah, couples always look at me shocked when I say I want to bring in a second stylist, but they don't realize, first of all, how much time it's going to take. And then you've got that hairstylist standing behind a chair for 8-10 hours without a break if you don't bring in a second stylist. So Stacy and I usually talk and Stacy has a great team of people that work at her salon with her. So she always helps me find that second person. And I appreciate that so much. Timeline is a booger. Because if you're going to get behind on wedding day, if you're going to blow it out of the water on wedding day with time, it's always in hair and makeup. That's where you're going to mess up the most. And I know some wedding planners don't feel it necessary to go to hair and makeup, but I am still so afraid that we're going to get behind and the whole schedule for the whole day is going to be messed up. It's also super important that you have a schedule, not just that you say we're going to start hair at 8 a.m. and we're going to be done by 1 p.m. You need a schedule that says who's getting their hair done when and who's getting their makeup done when. Because we'll just say it. I want a butt in a chair the whole time. So you can't have.
Did she just say a butt in the chair?
Yeah. And we say it a lot on wedding day.
I need somebody's butt in my chair right now.
Because you can't have Christina getting her makeup done and Stacy waiting for Christina to come get her hair done. Because now you're wasting time. So my timelines don't just have hair and makeup in a set number of hours. It literally has a schedule for each girl and who's going into hair at what time and who's going into makeup at what time. And I just live and breathe by that. You need to do that. I will never change that. And then when we talk about timeline too, how important is it that they be on time?
Very important.
Right.
Extremely important.
It will blow the whole thing.
It does. It really messes up the whole day. And then
what I'm over here chuckling about is because that's Sharon's bread and butter timeline, being on time. Like, yeah, she's walking you right into, do you think that that's important? Sharon's like, yeah, you better say, hell yeah, that's important, is what Sharon's
she
thinking.
She thinks it's as important as I do. Trust me.
I will say, as someone who is always 5 minutes late, I am on time to Sharon's wedding.
She is. Because you know Sharon's going to be there 10 minutes early.
Yes.
And that is definitely a plus when it comes to wedding planning, that somebody's on time or even a few minutes early.
Well, and I think another thing too to talk about is what kind of environment sets you up for success? Because I know you've taught me this. What do you need in that bridal suite for the wedding planner, or if there's not a wedding planner, the maid of honor, someone to have ready for you, ready to go?
Well, what I've learned over the years is there is never enough outlets for all of my tools. I have probably 5 different curling irons. They all do something different, I swear. Right. So I actually started bringing a power strip with me.
She does bring out this big old power strip when she comes in.
Hey, we need to talk after this because I've seen some new ones out there and I'm just like, wow. And I was like, then I'll think, am I really that excited about a power strip? But I'm going to tell you, technology, you need it.
Yes.
You do.
Then on top of that, because a lot of times with us carrying all of our stuff, I mean, I would love to have a chair that went up and down just like in the salon, but making sure that there's a good chair for the stylist that isn't too high, isn't too short.
Right.
So that we can access our client's head, because I've gone to some venues where we get a bar stool and I'm a pretty tall person and I'm standing on my tiptoes trying to curl hair. And then also just counter space and a mirror to work in front of us.
Yeah. I love it when I can get a cocktail table for them. It's perfect because you give them their own table, you put them in some good light, and let them do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when that bridal party is getting ready to get ready, how do you want them to come to you the morning of the wedding? I hear all the time, should I wash my hair? Should I? Yeah.
I say hair clean and blow dried. You want to dirty it up with product, not oil that's in the hair. Because oil releases the curl and you want that curl and you want to be able to make sure those bobby pins are going to stay in the hair. You don't want them sliding out. And also when you sleep at night, you think about you get creases in your hair. Your hair splits in the back in a weird spot. And if you're trying to tease the hair to high heavens, you're probably going to get a split, especially if someone's got a growth pattern that doesn't like to go the direction it needs to go in. So that's what I say. Clean, dry hair is my preference. Other stylists have their own preference, but that's mine.
But what I hear you saying is wash it that morning.
Yes.
And blow it completely dry.
Mm-hmm.
May I chime in with a couple questions? I made notes so I didn't interrupt. When you were talking about the number of bridesmaids or people that you can accommodate that day, our listeners are from all over. So I would assume that that is a question that should be high on your list when you're going to book your stylist for that day. How many can you have? But then also, do they find someone else to help them or work with them? Because I know you said you do, but we don't know if everybody out there does that same thing, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm. Some hairdressers refuse to work with people that they don't know, and I welcome it because it's a learning experience. That person may know something that I don't.
I didn't even know that.
Mm-hmm.
So some people don't know them. Interesting. Okay.
But yeah, that's something that you're going to schedule out and know way in advance before that date.
You should. Yeah. That's what they said in the beginning.
There
you
are several makeup artists here locally, at least, that won't work with a makeup artist that they have not trained.
So
they won't bring in a second person that they have not trained.
It doesn't take long to add up. If you've got the mom of the bride, the mom of the groom, any grandparents, a large bridal party, I mean, that's at least 2 stylists.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to communicate that and ask in advance, I jotted down about making sure, do you need to know? And I didn't even know, I guess, that some wouldn't work together.
Stacey and I actually did a wedding where I had 3.
Well, and I'm assuming your timeline would play into that, right?
Right.
If you don't, if you've got a crunch time, even though you could do the number you said, working together to figure all that out seems really important.
Yeah, it's super important. And I feel like from my standpoint, I've said it before, like my job is to hire the best team I can hire and then set them all up for success. So it's my job to reach out to that hairstylist and makeup artist or the beauty team and ask them what they need.
Well, I've even seen on some of your timelines, like it's a 4-hour block for hair and makeup.
Oh, it's usually more.
Okay, well, more. I was being easy. Yeah. I was being easy to the listeners out there. But I know we've heard people be like, I need that much time for, you know, by the time you add hair and makeup, picture, I mean, your day, it's a flash.
So let me add this in because between what Christina just said and Sharon said, I mean, if you've got 10 or 12 people and you said, you know, yes, you want to make sure you have somebody else on the timeline or to make sure that that hair person works with that. If I hire you to come in and do myself and all my bridesmaids, talking from a bride, I would feel like that would be your responsibility that I've hired you. Am I hiring you or am I hiring a business?
Right.
So, I mean, I would look at you.
Yes. You're posing that as a question. Correct. To her.
Right. Because, I mean, I would look, if I hired you to do my all of my people's hair and if you needed more help, I would just assume
there that we you go would, with that, you would go Michael.
With all that.
We've talked about that assume word.
I know.
That's why you're posing this, right?
That's right.
Because you hear people out there assume this.
Exactly.
Okay. Stacey's going to give us the answer.
Usually I do make sure that I have someone that I like to work with. And I put it in my contract that I say the stylist of my choosing. Because it makes it easier. Because I know what work is going to come out of that. But, you know, if that bride has their hairdresser, but their hairdresser needs help and they don't have someone and Sharon says they need a second person, can you do it? I'll work with that hairdresser. But 9 times out of 10, I am making sure that it's taken care of for the bride. The bride has enough to deal with.
Okay.
Sharon, amen to that, right? Yes. The bride's got enough to deal with.
Yes. And to add on to what Stacey said, so if the bride hires a hairstylist and the bride goes to that hairstylist for their trial. As the planner, I always make sure the bride and her mom, because her mom's usually been to that same stylist or been at that appointment when the bride got her hair done for her trial. So I always want to make sure that those two people are with the primary hire. If they've hired Stacey, Stacey's going to do the bride and Stacey's going to do the bride's mom. Because you do not want to see a bride walk in and me go, oh, yeah, we know you did your trial with Stacey, but today, you know, Mariah's going to do your hair. That does not. So you always want to put that second stylist with the bridesmaids and not the VIPs of the bridal party.
And I guess what I'm getting at is, you know, I have a crew of 15. And yes, I sell all of our weddings. And yes, they think I'm going to make every piece of the whole wedding. But that's not true. But I am there to oversee everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just trying to compare my business to a hairdresser and how brides would look at both of them the same or different.
Right.
Or they should look at different.
Well, and we've actually been in situations where, you know, it's really funny to me that if there's something someone doesn't like with their hair, they'll come and tell me, like, I can fix it. And I can't fix my own hair. So... if there is a second stylist and there's something someone didn't care for, you know, we've had a mother of the bride that just wanted her was too flat. She just wanted more volume in her hair. So I just went to Stacey and very quietly said, hey, when you get done, I always schedule some time at the end for touch-ups for makeup or hair. So that's kind of time that, you know, Stacey's, as far as I'm concerned, Stacey's in charge. So she can go back and she can, you know, look and see if anyone has anything they want her to touch up or fix.
I will say I am a perfectionist when it does come to that. Before they leave, before they're done, even if we're 5 minutes behind, I'm like, let me spray that piece. Let me do this because it is my name on it at the end of the day. And I just want to make sure that their hair is going to stay at least until the end of the reception.
Right. And it's really important too, if we do start running into a time crunch or something, I always try to communicate and say, mm-hmm. hey, Stacy, what's your ETA on, you know, because I can shift things. A timeline, as much as it just hurts my heart to say it, a timeline is a guideline.
What
so you need to flex. You need to be able to flex a little bit.
You and know what she
do
said.
Do you hear this? Mm-hmm.
But I always pad mine too, and people don't know that. My mm-hmm. timelines are always padded.
Okay, you've just made me think of something else. We talked about this right before we started recording. How, if a person wants a certain hairstyle, how in the world do you get it to stay for all your pictures? Some people do a first look, some
She's
don't.
The queen of it, man. They stay forever.
I have my go-to hairsprays, and I actually, you know, people think bobby pins are bobby pins. There are different types of metal that are used in bobby pins. There's different strengths, different widths, different everything. So I have my tools that I like. I have a kit that has probably 20 different types of bobby pins in it. So some work better in fine hair, some work better in coarse hair.
Well, and yours, then that makes me think some of these girls, you've never seen their hair before.
No.
And if you don't have that in your toolkit, it's not like you're just going to run down to the store. Well, I'll be back, Sharon, in 30 minutes. I'm going to run down here to the Walgreens. And your stuff probably doesn't even
Sharon
come from it.
Sharon will have a heart attack. Right. That
but that's you have to think about that is picking out your right stylist is so much more important because you're faced with people's hair types and what they want, and you may not have seen in advance what you're working
That's
with.
That's what always amazes me. I mean, I love what she does with the bride's hair, and she's seen them and done their trial, and it's always gorgeous. But it amazes me that these ladies can come in and they have never met this person before. They've never seen their hair, and every single one of them will look gorgeous every single time.
While we're talking about this, for our listeners that aren't here locally and would not maybe have an option to use you, I'm sure you probably have bags will travel, depending. But is there a couple things that come to mind that you would share with an engaged couple and a bride or their parents may be listening? Important questions to ask before they book.
Oh, gosh. Important questions to ask before they book.
I mean, one of them you talked about was the number of people that you can handle and your policy for utilizing others, other stylists.
I think important questions. Some people don't know that most of us require a travel fee because just to get me out of the salon takes time. I have to pack up all of my stuff. And usually I charge a flat rate, anything up to 20 miles. And then after that, I use the IRS tax mileage. So that's what I charge according to that. So if there's a wedding an hour away, they just need to be, if they want to use me, they just need to be prepared for that. And also, like we said before, if there's extras with the hair, I try to do my best. Like if a bride does need extensions put in, I try to order those because I'm pretty good with matching up the hair and making sure that I get her good quality hair. But it's the unforeseen things that a lot of people don't think about because weddings are different than they were 20, 30 years ago. There's more personalization to it.
I didn't even think about ordering hair in. But with shipping, so many things being affected nowadays, what you may have been used to going somewhere to an actual supply place or anything like that, you don't maybe have as much readily available or might not be able to get the exact thing you're wanting.
Well, some things in Stacy's industry, some things you have to have a cosmetology license to buy.
Yes.
So I know that's a big thing. And then I've had several brides where you have woven hair pieces in, you've woven beads in, those kind of things.
I try to keep a lot of that on hand so that the bride doesn't have to worry about that. They don't have to order that. But also, like the bridesmaids that I've never seen their hair before, they may need some extra help. And I just try to make sure that I have that. But if they do need that, just to be prepared for a slightly increase in price, you know.
We had one bridal party that did bobby pin art. Like each bridesmaid did different bobby pin art. So that hairstylist had to be ready for bobby pin art, mm-hmm. make sure that, you know, all of that was available. So it's so individual now, like you were saying.
Everything's so much custom.
What is the most popular style that you're seeing right now?
The Hollywood waves are really big right now.
And can you talk about those a little bit? Because they're a booger.
They are pretty, I don't want to say difficult to achieve, but not everyone has the right hair for it. If the hair is very, very thick and heavy, it's going to tend to want to fall. The longer the hair, the more weight that there is on those waves. So they fall flat and they're not for everyone. But the Hollywood waves are very big. Braided styles, they've never really gone away, which I love those.
I see those so often. Yeah.
And I try to, because a bride may see trends that she likes, but I say, what does your dress look like? Because they may show me a very boho style when they have a very classic look, a classic elegant dress that's not going to match that hair at all. So I try to guide them in that sense. But that goes to, I do see a lot of the braided half up, half down right now. That's still big. But anymore, there's no rules. There's no boundaries. So
it's wide open.
That's the thing with weddings. Everywhere across the board, there's no rules. I mean, mm-hmm. it's like, it's whatever you want. So what's one tip that you would give or tell a bride before she even started looking or even thinking about hair?
Find your dress first. Find your dress first and find the theme of your wedding. If you want a boho wedding, go with it. I say go full speed with it. I love boho. So I just say do that. Find your dress and find the feel, the vibe you want for your wedding. Vibes are really in right now. So,
you know, I know the different trends and stuff with weddings, but I really did not think even comprehend that there was a boho hairdo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I really didn't.
When she said that earlier, I was thinking the same thing.
I thought, which, you know, they can bring me bouquets and say, this is what I want. Sometimes I don't even know what it's called, but it's your boho look. And
what is boho? I think I know because I know you, but what to our audience and what is boho hair to you?
It's a very, to me, it's a free form way of styling the hair. Mm-hmm. Because there are no rules with it. No two updos are going to look the same. You can have a cohesive look, but there's more texture to the style. There's more, not so much tight ringlet style curls. It's very beach wavy. It's braids. It's twists. It's just texture in the hair.
And it's funny because in bouquets, it's just loose and airy. And, mm-hmm. and really, free form is the word we use.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting.
That's really cool.
This has had so much information packed in it. Honestly, it's been great. I even learned stuff.
She's the bomb, I'm telling you.
I mean, she's over there talking about weaving beads and things. And I'm thinking, wow, this is...
We had one bride that had a really long... Mike did this wedding as well. She had a really long braid. And she wanted the old Hollywood glam. And Stacy had a... I'm not going to call it the right thing. A wire that had beads throughout the wire. And she braided it in to her hair. And I'm telling you, I've still got pictures of that girl's hair on my phone because I loved it so much.
Okay, well, we're going to need that to post out on social media so you all can go and
one of us will find it.
Okay,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I got one more question. So we're seeing a lot of flowers being placed in hairs.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do a lot of that? I mean, just in the last year and a half, they're coming to me even at the last minute and saying, oh, Mike, I want to put loose flowers in my hair. Usually what we'll do is we'll make a little corsage type thing and keep the wires long
mm-hmm.
so you all can wire them in there. But I'll be honest with you, I don't know if that's the right thing to do or not.
I would say yes, that is the right thing to do. With depending on what kind of flower it is, because you know some flowers last longer than mm-hmm. others. So I would ask you to steer them in the direction of that. Mm-hmm. Like what kind of flower are you looking for your hair? Maybe this one would last longer. Because I do save the bride for last, typically on a wedding day, unless you have a flower girl that mm-hmm. won't sit still and her hair is not going to stay up, then, you know, do them at the end. But I would ask you to guide them in that direction. And because the flowers, they're beautiful. in hair. I mean,
but when it comes to inserting them into the hairdo itself, I mean, is it easier to have monowire or send a vase of flowers that you can work in the way you want to?
It's easier to have them on a wire, and I would love you for doing that because if you just place them in the hair, they're going to fall out.
Yeah, that's
what I thought. Any sort of movement, it's going to fall. And I have some hairpins that I can stick in there, and I kind of create a hook on the end of them. So mm-hmm. then if they do kind of slide out, they just you just have your bridesmaid pop that right back in there for you.
Are you seeing that most of your brides now, they not only pick out their hairstyle, but they tell you how they want their maids? Or are you seeing that most brides let their maids pick out what they want?
It's 50-50. I think it depends on the bride. But I try to steer them into saying, let's do what works best for your bridesmaid's hair, because not all bridesmaids are going to have the same hair, and not all bridesmaids are going to do well, you know, if they don't have a lot of hair, the big side braids don't work that well for them. So I say let your bridesmaid kind of choose, because also the time of the year for the wedding matters as well. If you've got a wedding in June and all of your bridesmaids have half up, half down curled hair and it's 80% humidity, it's probably not going to last through the wedding.
That's
or to
really
the ceremony.
That's a really good point. What do you recommend for those crazy hot days?
Up. Hair that's up. And when you think about it too, you've got family members hugging you, congratulating you. It's hot. You're going to be dancing. A style that's down like that typically isn't going to last through the night.
That's a really good point
mm-hmm.
that I had not thought of.
Absolutely. This has been great. Any other questions before we let her go? I feel like we've just been like rapid fire at some things.
No, this has been fun. This is my very first podcast.
Yay.
So thanks for having me.
I'm glad you come in to join us. And I think just getting the wheels turning in people's heads, whether they're just engaged, maybe they're already into planning mode and they didn't even realize how important it was to go ahead and book a stylist, or, oh, I've got 12 or 14 people that need their hair done. That's the whole thing, is just providing education and tips so people can make better decisions and ultimately make their wedding planning a little more seamless.
It honestly should be one of your first vendors. I would say at least within your first five.
Especially
after
if
your
you
dress.
Well, no, you can hire your hairstylist and then buy your dress.
Just don't decide
just
on
your
style.
Right.
Yeah. And I will say that I would recommend doing your trial anywhere from 3 to 6 months before the wedding. Make sure that you don't have any major hair changes in right. that time, because then your hair is not going to match up with your trial. And
good point.
And the trial is very much for, it's a trial. And typically when you come in with your hair that day, it's not going to be the same as the wedding day. There's not as much time. The refinement really comes on the wedding day.
Again, back to finding a person that you that understands what you want or that has been referred to you. Just having that meeting or that conversation, as Sharon always says, about your A-team to make sure it's going to be a good fit.
Get them booked. Get them to hold your date. Make sure your date's reserved. And then, like Stacy said, get that trial scheduled when it's time. And
the big day will be here before you know it.
Well, and hopefully it'll be pretty stress-free because you've already met your beauty team. You've got everything lined out. You're on time. It really matters. People don't realize what all goes into it.
Stacy, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank
will
you.
To sum up our episode, will you just share with them again where you're located, how they can connect with you? We will definitely share links in our show notes and social media, but as we're wrapping up.
I am at Roots Salon. It is at 5420 Indiana 62. It's in Jeffersonville. We are right next door to a 24-hour bakery.
That's a plus.
Yeah. And if they want to contact me, they can reach me. Probably my Instagram is the easiest way. And my Instagram is bombshellred.
All right. Easy to remember. Well, thank you all so much for tuning in. As Sharon always likes to say, if you like what you've heard on this episode or other episodes,
leave us a glowing 5-star review.
Mike, did you want to get any other words in? Because I felt like you didn't get many in for that episode.
Mike doesn't have
any
hair.
Thank you so much for being here, though.
Thank you.
Great information.
Thanks to all of our listeners. If you haven't already subscribed, go to your favorite podcast platform and hit that button. Until next time, see ya. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of The Ring, The Bling, and All the Things. If you liked what you heard, make sure to hit the subscribe or follow button on your favorite podcast platform to get notified of upcoming episodes. You can also visit our website, ringblingallthethings.com, where you can join our email list and get notifications about new episodes and other information. You can also follow us on your favorite social media platforms.